Are you gay?
Geeky?
Just enjoy hearing your Good Judy's dish about the latest in pop culture?
Well, then you're in luck.
The boys of Flame On are here for you.
In every episode, we discuss the topics that entrance us.
Whether it's comics, TV,
movies,
drag queens,
or video games,
we've got you covered.
So, if you're ready for your gay and geeky slice of pop culture life,
then sit back and get ready to
Flame On!
Spandex makes me horny. No, for real. I'm serious. This is Jess. Jess Petting. You don't know who I am? Get the fuck out. Got a patch. Drag is the new spandex.
What's going on, everybody? Patrick Bear here, and we are back again for the last time on this season of Rucaps. Oh, lordy. After 12 episodes and 11 weeks and 11 Rucaps, well, I guess 10, this is our 11th Rucap, we have reached the end of the line. We have reached the finale episode, and my tenure as Flame On's very own pit stop host. Joining me for this final episode of the All-Star 7 Recap Series, I have asked none other than one of my besties, longtime friend, longtime Bears in the City, inspirer slash supporter slash confidant, and at one point, even kind of employee for when I was out of town. Ooh. And you were there for the Pulse like fundraiser telethon. In essence, I think you were there for like a good 6 hours of different performances and artists, if you will. But I am so excited. First time on the podcast, but not the first time that we have shot the shit about drag and drag race. This is my friend Matthew, everybody. Hi, Matthew.
Hello, Pat. Thanks for having me on. Excited to talk tonight. So
yes. Much for this. Paparazzi Bear and Pat the Bear on a podcast together. Who knew?
All those years ago.
Right? And I'm sitting here with my legendary legend star and my repeater badge.
So jealous.
Ready,
I'm not sure which one.
Ready to chat and dish about the finale episode. So before we dive into like the whole thing, usually I'm gonna kind of preface this because every episode that I've been doing, every recap that we've been doing, I bring a new guest host on. I kind of have been starting out with, what did you think of the season so far, blah, 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 all this, and kind of get your thoughts or get the my co-hosts for the episode's thoughts about how the season has gone thus far. However, I'm going to throw this into a complete tizzy, and we're not going to do that. Because since we've reached the finale, I think it would be best served for us to really talk about the final episode. And then we can kind of reminisce and recap and talk about the season as a whole and give our thoughts, our opinions. I mean, I've been giving my opinion for the last 10 episodes of Recaps. But it'll be nice to hear your opinion on this season overall. And honestly, I feel like, you know, if we do that, the finale is just kind of an afterthought. It's just kind of the end of it all. So we are going to dive right into this episode where the queens re-enter the workroom. The gaggiest of gags has happened after the Drag Race gives back Variety Extravaganza. And I'm pretty sure I got that right without even looking at it. I don't even have my normal cheat sheet page up. That's a lot of words. It is a lot of words that they try to get me to remember every single week. Eric was with me on the last episode, and I was lamenting the fact that the first eight episodes were all like very short, succinct titles. So when I was making the titles for the recaps, it worked really well. It was like, okay, here's the episode title, and we just move on. And then we got to the Kennedy Davenport Center Honors, like Hall of Shade Rose. Like,
yeah,
I was like, I don't have enough. I don't even think I have enough characters on in one tweet to put.
Oh,
this
right,
entire
no,
we're still
up the whole entire thing, just naming this episode.
Yeah, so once we got to this one, I was like, okay, like I thought about it. I was like, you know what, this is just the queen of all queens. That's what we're doing. This is what we're at. But we come back in from the gaggiest twist of the season, which I don't think was that big of a gag. And whether or not you like it or not, they decided that the final challenge would be worth three legendary stars.
Three of those, yes.
Yes. I'll never forget my friend Jamie. After I had him on the show, he was like, oh, there's one thing that I forgot to say on the podcast, because it's become a running joke for me, like really just for me, about whenever I say legendary legend stars, it always becomes this like legendary legend, legendary legend, 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 legend. And then Jamie made a comment about the fact that when Rue says it, she sounds a bit like Droopy Dog.
I would think she's a little, she's a little bit drunk in each by the end of each episode.
Legendary legend. So yeah, now when I say it, I can't not hear it that way, and then continue to be weird about saying it in my own way. But what were your thoughts? We'll get this little kind of reaction. What were your thoughts about not only there being three stars to the top two, but Monet and Shay getting those two top spots? And then what I thought, and I read spoilers, so I knew this was coming, but the gag of all gags where Monet, Rue said, I don't want no blood on my hands. Monet, you get to pick the fourth person out of these two people. What were your thoughts on all of that happening?
Summarily, I remind myself always, this is RuPaul's show, and she gonna do what she wants to do. So whether one loves or does not like the fact that the last challenges were three stars, which happened to be the magic number that Shay needed to get into the finale, I do love that twist for Monet, that it was like, you have to do this out loud in front of everyone and right now. It was not a surprise that she picked Trinity, because Twinners, Alliance, etc. But I think that Rude and the production team wanted Shay in the finale. They figured out a way to get her done. So I'm okay with it all, because it's Rue's show and it's entertaining and it's fun.
And I mean, and this is the thing. One of the things that was said multiple times in the workroom was that it wasn't like Shay did bad this season.
No,
overall, I don't think that there were any. I mean, yes, there were some weaker showings in some of the challenges, but these are eight exceptionally talented queens who really put on an amazing plethora of performances over all of these different types of challenges.
No, for real. And I think that's why fans have been asking for this kind of a season for so long, because you know, when you get winners of a season together, that it's going to be spectacular. And it really, well, like, if you complain about this season, there's just something wrong with you.
I mean, so there are a couple of things that I absolutely like kind of agree with in terms of like kind of what the fan feedback has been. But at the same time, and I mean, I also absolutely agree with you. One, the winners are usually fan favorites by the end, whether or not they were your choice, like your pick to win. You can't help but admit that they did a great job on their season. So we also know these queens now. We spent 12, 14 episodes with them, depending on their season. And we got to know them. Some of them on two seasons because they couldn't do it right the first time, so they came back to All Stars. But and Viv, I think, was only like 8 episodes, but whatever. You know.
Okay.
But yeah, it was a much shorter series run over there for the actually, I think all of them. I think they've started to expand out, but neither here nor there on that one. But there are a couple of things about the season that are interesting to me. I've seen a lot, or not a lot, I've been seeing on Twitter people talk about this is the format that needs to be like for everything going forward. No, I don't want that.
I don't think so. Yeah, I agree. I don't think so. Why do you think no? I'm curious.
So for regular seasons, I will say from the part that I agree with is these queens spend a shit ton of money and then you don't know how long you're going to be on the show. But that's also the nature of the beast for reality competition shows or 100%. Any competition show.
100%.
And some queens are cast before their time, before they're ready, before they should be on the show. And I think it would do a disservice and potentially hurt them if they're on the show longer than they should be. I mean, there's points where, like, Georges in this last season, a super talented queen, like, you know, very good performer, but maybe not 100% ready to handle that and kind of that environment. And you could tell by the episode she went home, she was resigned to go home. She wasn't ready for this. And the problem with it is, queens know that if they really want to make a living out of doing this, they get on the show. Because as soon as you get on the show, your booking fee goes up, you're doing tours, you're part of this machine. If you have queens like an Orion Story, or I don't even want to call queens out by name, but you know, you have these early out queens, get the exposure, make some extra money, come on back. I'm also of the mindset that I really hate the fact that it's come down to you need to have a $30,000, $50,000 package to go on Drag Race.
Yeah, I've seen some of the behind-the-scenes tales of, you know, here's how many outfits you need. And someone like Got Mick, who had custom couture for every week, is spending almost the entire prize money. Certainly the amount of prize money she gets to keep after taxes. Just on gowns for one season. I don't want all the future seasons to be like this, because you mentioned earlier, by the time the winner is the winner of a season, we've gotten to know them, because it's narrowed the field down to a top six, and then a top four, and then a top three. And then we're sort of invested in the lives of those. If we had 15 at the end of week 15, I'm still going to be wondering what they're all called. What's your name? Who are you? I don't want that.
I mean, this last season where there was an entire month where one queen went home, you know, like in four episodes,
That's right.
I was like, okay, I'm done with you all. Like, let's keep this moving. The storylines don't work that's the same way. We started with eight. We had eight at the end. It was a little different. Plus, we know these queens. And that's even though, let's say I liked Evie, and I really liked Evie as a person because I worked with her a couple of times. I love Jinx. Jinx has become a friend. Monet is phenomenal, and you know, I consider her essentially a friend as well. I mean, aside from Trinity, and the Viv, really, because I didn't care for Viv as much. And I'll say it also, I didn't really care for Raja on her season. I've gotten to like Raja better in just like the ether of the world and running into her in P-Town and all of these things, like in just the world. From the show, wasn't as big of a fan, but getting to see them on the show, it gave me such a different vibe and a different feel. Jada, who wasn't my top pick for season 12, I came to adore Jada by like episode 9. I was like, oh, okay, like she's not gonna win, but I'm so much more of a fan of Jada by the end of all this. And I appreciate wanting to see what these queens can do. And I, you know, some people will call to, well, look at this outfit. And, you know, because a lot of the queens now will post their runways from, you know, afterwards. That's also a year later, after the season was filmed.
They can go
and they can tweak the photos, they can tweak the outfits, they can do all of this stuff. They're not taking it from being made and bringing it and walking the runway with it.
Right.
Not to say the outfit may have not looked the same, but when you're doing like professional photos with these outfits, Alyssa Hunter for the Mirror Mirror Challenge, the photo of like the magic mirror from Snow White. Like that look, I don't know if you've seen it online. If you haven't, and listeners, if you haven't, go seek out this photo because that outfit is gorgeous. But would it have looked the same way online? Would it have like, or not online, on the runway? Would it have looked the same right then and there?
That's a good point because, you know, you're a photographer. I'm a photographer. Doing studio work where someone's standing still with the right lighting is extremely different than can this survive a walk down the runway and back? How many times have you heard Michelle call someone out because the back of the outfit looks unfinished, seams aren't seamed, hems aren't hemmed, all that kind of stuff?
If you are, you don't get a lot of time to prepare. If you go and you're kind of bringing things hurriedly, rushed to, you know, to get it done and get it to, you know, a suitcase to be brought to filming, you have time. You have a year. And at that point, you know, probably a couple of weeks after of getting bookings and a couple of months since you've been announced that your booking fee is now higher, that you can go in and make these tweaks and make it look even better. So I'm not a fan of thinking about like even All-Star seasons, because this is the other point before we finish this and actually get into talking about the episode. As I said, we were going to start with it. It's become this whole other conversation. But I think it's an important conversation where I think a lot of people have a lot of opinions on. And dear listeners, please feel free to at me, tag Flame On Podcast or Flame On Show on Twitter. Like, get the conversation going. I want to hear from you all as well. But I will say this. All-Star seasons. And even if we were to say, okay, leave the regular seasons alone. All-Star seasons. Let's do All-Star seasons with this format. How many times do you think you can get an entire season of all queens who are real viable contenders for the title?
Well, she's done it 7 times so far.
Look at the first 6 All-Star seasons and tell me that there have not been, I don't even want to call them filler queens, but queens who deserve to come back to show their glow up, but you just knew they were not going to be that winner.
I hear you.
It's in every cast. Did anybody think Serena Chacha in All-Star 6 was a viable contender for the crown?
That's rooting for her!
You're still waiting for your wigs that you purchased from her that she hasn't sent you yet? Anyway. But you know what I mean? Like when you have 12 or 14 All-Stars coming back, one, I'm sure that part of the queens on this season got negative critiques. They got, you know, actual critiques on the, but right. they didn't show them. They edited around anything that would have made somebody look like they did not do well in the challenges. They were given this edit, and I don't know. I mean, a bunch of the queens have kind of come out saying this and that or the other about like editing choices. But also, do you think any of them would have done the season if they knew that somebody was going to be edited to look like the villain or the delusional one or the weakest out of the group? Like, none of the queens deserve that. You can fuck up a challenge, but I think it was edited in a way that showcased the best of all of these queens. And while it did get boring sometimes to not have any critiques, like real impactful negative critiques, I was happy that these queens got to did not have their initial runs tarnished or diminished.
I will say, I agree with you about, I like this editing choice. I'm going to take it serious for a minute. We got COVID year three. We got monkeypox going crazy. We got wars around the globe. I didn't need a lot of negative bitchiness on the season. The fact that it was consistently very positive, very happy. These eight queens supported each other to the end. No hard feelings about these choices. I thought it was really nice. I don't want it to be the new trend for all future seasons. But at this time, in this place, I really like knowing I could watch this show week after week and the critiques were going to be glowing up, positive, lifting these queens up in a time when I needed to hear something positive. So it was really nice, personally. This is a good choice, but I'm ready for some shade.
Shade and just reality. Like, I, you know, these queens, even All-Stars queens, they obviously did not win. They were not, you know, at the top of their game when they competed the first time.
Right.
I'm okay with giving some feedback to push them to the top of their game. You know, they're coming back as having been out in the world, having the chance to now have more access to designers and to money and to things. I mean, yes, we are in year three of COVID, you know, but we've gotten back to a point where tours are happening. They're getting out there and doing shows. They're, you know, it's not the same as the second half of UK season two,
right,
or right. even, I mean, honestly, even like All-Star Six, because Five filmed before the COVID shutdowns, but started like premiered during the height of like the COVID's first act. But a lot of the queens going into like Six didn't have as much, you know, of a time to be able to perform and save up money to do this. So for the fact that they were able to make it work was amazing. And it was a great season. All-Star 6 is probably one of the top, probably in the top three. Like AS2, AS6, and now AS7, I think are like the top three All-Star seasons. Oh, I'm sorry, All-Stars 1 really is the epitome of All-Stars.
That's the one that was invented for Chad Michaels to win?
Yes. With the sorry, teams and everything.
She's a local, so I got to say that.
Oh, Chad. We love Chad.
I do.
But yeah, so diving back into, now that we've had that whole conversation as it comes off of the stars and the Monet choice for, and yeah, you needed to have a payoff to this damn Twinners Alliance, because if this thing went through the entire fucking season and there was no payoff to it, what would the point have been?
Right.
And honestly, if anybody out there thought that Jada was going to get the nod over Trinity when Monet was the person to make the choice.
No. I mean, we knew that wasn't.
No.
I do wonder, though, if Shay is a little bit mad. Because if she had not won those three stars, she would have been in that second group and could have walked away with 50 grand.
I mean, this is true.
I wonder
this is true.
How she feels if she's thought of that. Because technically, I mean, fifth place got more money than second place. Have we talked about that? Have we talked about that?
Yeah. So before we get to the actual final runway and the lip sync smackdown for the crowns or creptors?
Right, creptors? Is that what they were?
Creptors. Yeah. And it wasn't Brian actually. So Friday night, I guess Brian watched it later in the day. We have a flame on group chat. And he goes, oh, creptor equals crown plus scepter. Yeah. And he's like, oh, he's like, I'm mad that it took me this long to figure it out. And I was like, I just figured it out because you just said it, because I had no idea why it was.
Don't think that's a word that needs to exist. I think we can just call it a scepter. I'm okay with that.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. I was like, literally, I just kept thinking crafter. And I was like, why are you being so mean to your own like award that you're giving to somebody?
Yeah, I'm mad about it.
Yeah. So before they get to the final presentation and the SmackDown, Rue tells them that they have one more mini challenge. And I'm like, well, y'all really just needed something to fill up time, huh? Because there has never been a mini challenge on the last day of, like, on the finale episode. And they were given 15 minutes to get into Quick Drag and do a Soul Train line?
With no prize, by the way. No prize for the mini challenge. Just do the thing.
They were just, and I mean, you could tell that some of them did not give a flying fuck. Monet was like, I'm not even going to put makeup on.
No, I was going to put a wig, a little cute fit.
And some outfit.
Done.
Yeah. I don't know what was going on with that, but it was a thing, and it happened.
It was something they hadn't yet done. Usually in the finale, there's only three girls left, right? So you can't do a whole Soul Train.
Well, I mean,
dance
it depends
line.
On what season. We had five in this last season, so
we have none. Yeah, that's true. We have done.
We've had three. We've had four. We've had five. Although I was surprised that last season didn't have eight at the end as well. I mean, we had what, seven going into the penultimate episode, and then they were like, "Well, we're going to eliminate two now because we had so many weeks where we did not eliminate anybody." After the Soul Train montage is completed.
Yes. Yes, for no reason other than to dance.
Yeah, we go to the runway and we are treated to the final runway of the season. I don't remember if Rue even mentioned if there was a theme.
I mean, I feel like it's extravaganza eleganza. Isn't it always like your best outfit?
I mean, yes.
Traditionally. Right? Question mark? But,
yeah. Oh yeah, Grand Finale Eleganza is what the fandom wiki page says.
I don't know if I believe that.
I don't either. I feel like it was a runway.
Does everybody know that usually there's a bag limit, right? For these girls. You're only allowed so many suitcases. And for this season, they just move their entire apartment into a storage unit, and they could have everything, right? So of all the drag and everything they own, this last episode, meh.
Well, I mean, they went through about 47 outfits apiece.
They did, right? Each episode.
Over
like
these 12 episodes.
Yes.
Yes.
True.
I mean, literally, they were just like, here's everything, because you're right. They did away with the five bag maximum. They did away with the weight limit. I think Willem has said on Race Chaser that they were able to like ship things directly to the studio, which I mean, for Viv, that also helps because I mean, she's coming from,
well,
you know,
yeah,
the
a little
UK.
Bit farther away, isn't it? Sure.
Yeah. But Yeah, after, I mean, honestly, it's a little bit of diminishing returns after the all glowed up runway, which is still by far my favorite runway.
Oh, you like that, yeah?
Oh, it was everything. Like, that was just, I think, except for maybe one outfit, I loved everything that came out of that light up runway. But we do have a grand finale, Eleganza runway.
So they say.
What were your high points for this runway?
I mean, I think I liked Jinx's explanation of her outfit, and the contrast between winning her first season and coming out this time not as an insecure little narcoleptic girl, but the fucking warrior bitch witch that she is. I mean, I liked the look. I liked the story. So for me, that's one of the standout outfits. But also Jada. Jada's did opening the show, coming out in that sparkly, talking about this is for all the black girls who never got their chance. I thought that was on par with Eleganza. And then I got to say, Raja, just being Raja, man. That bug or alien or whatever she was, that stands out in my memory as awesome stuff.
Yeah.
What'd you like?
Like, you took the three that really come to mind for me. It's so funny because Bob, I've watched the Pit Stop every episode this season because I've loved the show so much. I eventually caught up on Untucked. Untucked really didn't have a lot except for the Who Fucked Monet, Jada, the Nancy Drew of finding out who Monet fucked. Like, that was amazing. But watching the Pit Stop has been a blast. Like, I was never like a religious Pit Stop watcher until last season when Monet was hosting. And she did such a great job. It was so much fun. And I really enjoyed like watching the episodes. So when I found out that Bob was doing it, this season, coming back this season to do it, I was like, okay, let's watch. And I've watched every week. I watched the Pit Stop. And she was wearing the wig, the first impressions wig, and had Thorgy. Yeah, and had Thorgy as the guest. It was For fans of Bob, it was like this whole thing, this whole big thing. And then last season with Monet as host, Bob was the finale guest. Like, there are all these little Easter eggs to like their fandoms and their followers that I love. It makes me so happy. But for her to be like, everybody's runway was great except Jinx, I was like, oh, Bob. Like, oh. I mean, that's her sister. Literally, that's her drag sister. But, like, I love Jinx's look. I thought it was adorable. Maybe not Eleganza, but for what Jinx has become since season 5, it was, like you said, the story, it worked. And it wrapped a bow on Jinx's story all the way through from season 5 to All-Star 7. And Jada looked stunning. Fucking stunning. Raja, the alienness of it all, just, it was something so different. Not Eleganza in the traditional sense.
Definitely but from not.
Like, a high fashion alien is totally Raja. And that is so on brand and on point for her. I will also give a shout out to Monet doing her essentially What Would the Dora Milaje wear to the Oscars, and for her to do the Dora Milaje for the music video in All Stars 4, and then have this callback, okay, this very Wakanda reference callback at the end of All Stars 7, I thought was brilliant.
You're paying attention.
All right. Oh my! Honestly, like, Monet's a giant nerd. Like, she is a big old nerd, and the fact that she does these things and calls these things out, and also has such a Shay and Monet have very much brought Black excellence and Black culture to the runway in two completely different ways. And I appreciate them both for it. It may not be my culture that I'm raised with, that I'm a part of, but it makes me so happy to see it being elevated and showcased in this way. And then, you know, to come out in a ball cap, have the piercings, have like, it just, it all looked so great. And I love her for it. Were there any maybe less standouts on the runway for you?
I guess because they don't stand out, I don't literally remember them. I don't remember what Evie wore. I don't remember it striking me.
Oh, how did I forget that one? She wore the cake. I love that one.
Oh, she did. I mean, the word costumey comes to mind, but...
I mean, it was on Caster, so yes, like, I totally get that.
Nothing else offended me. I think it just wasn't terribly memorable. I always think Trinity is like a Vegas showgirl, so every time she comes out in a beaded, jeweled something, I'm always happy with that. She was doing these gorgeous trained gowns, and so this was just a leotard in a bathrobe kind of a look.
Yeah.
But I agree with that. It was pretty.
Yeah.
Vivian's dress, I don't think fit her figure very well. I think it made her look really weird on the bottom, the big black feathery thing, right?
Yeah, and this is something that maybe she didn't realize as much. And I only really know this because I watch like the Pit Stop and I listen to Race Chaser where they talk about these things. Black does not film well. Mm. Black is very difficult to film. And even Jada mentioned it in the first design challenge where they have the different colors of the different locations. And you don't get texture. You kind of just get
blank. Yeah, and that's the light just all disappears.
Yeah, it's just absorbed, and it's you essentially just get your a void
shape.
And seeing her post the pictures that she took in the dress on her social media, you could see all of the feathers. You could see the detail because photography is different than film,
right?
And it looked very pretty, but it was basic. And this is the thing. She's another one who had amazing runways. Maybe some that I didn't always understand, like the pleather principle with all the spikes and everything. Like, I didn't understand it, but I know that it was a huge, like, wow moment for everybody else.
Made a moment. Sure. Iconic.
Yeah. To go from that to, like, this.
Right.
And then what also made me sad is in the Talking Head piece, she mentioned she did the colorful makeup to have the juxtaposition. When she photographed the dress for her, you know, her pictures and her social media, she did it with like just black eye makeup. And I'm like, you took away a little bit of that fun, because her makeup was fucking stunning. That's something like all of these queens.
All the way through.
Yeah. But Viv was gorgeous makeup every single runway. Evie's makeup was so much more elevated than season 11. Raja's makeup on this last runway, Raja always looks great, but the makeup with this alien look was just incredible. I think those are really like Trinity's, to your point, Trinity and Viv, like they were just kind of basic for what they have put together for the rest of the season. To end on that note felt a little bit of a letdown on the runway. Still gorgeous. Yeah. If that was the only thing I saw them walk out in, I'd be like, they look fucking great. I still don't like Trinity, but she looks great. But I'm never going to let that go. I'm a gay with a vendetta. That's what happens.
They showed us too much earlier on for these to be impressive. It's kind of what it comes down to.
Yeah, for this to be grand finale eleganza, it felt like not the coup de grace of everything. It felt like another runway where Okay, well, we're going to get to Eleganza next week.
Do you remember, I want to contrast Evie's look again, the cake costume. Do you remember her look from her winning season? That three-paneled mirrored headpiece with the golden dress?
Yes.
Man, that's amazing. Yes. This was not that. I think they should have done better than they did then.
Yeah. Yeah, I can see that.
Save one dress to the end. Save one dress to the end, at least.
Yeah, and was it? I think Bob was saying it would have been great if she had opened up the dress and there were actual like cupcakes, and then I think Thorgy was like, it would have been great if she opened it up and there was Willow Pill.
Sisters,
mother daughter sisters, whatever they are,
however it works.
I think actually at that point, yeah, I don't think Willow had even gone to film her season at that point, because I think they filmed this before season 14.
Fair point.
Which meant that Evie said that Willow helped her with the concept and maybe even some of the making of her glow up, all glowed up runway, the mushroom.
Yeah.
And then Willow did the mushroom look for her season. So it ended up tying into that. So yeah, it's amazing how the filming versus release schedule goes when it comes down to that.
True.
After the runway, there is a lovely moment on the stage where I don't have all of the titles that they bestowed upon the queens.
Oh,
but they essentially run through all of the queens and give them a new title and just
they were
talking about how great they did this season. Yes.
I thought it was sweet. Some of them
it
felt
was
like
really
they had
cute.
More work and thought put into them than others, but they were. They were sweet.
Yes. Yeah. No, absolutely. And I think it was a really fitting moment. Monet's little breakdown and like moment with Rue was also really nice to see. You know, because when it comes down to it, Rue is not infallible and has had her issues, has her problems. And we all do. But to have given these queens a platform, to be able to then take that platform and do all of the things that they've done, and for some of them, what they will continue to do because they're newer winners, especially kind of, you know, like Jada being crowned on Zoom. Like, she's now just getting out into the world and doing her thing. But for them to have had the opportunity because of the show, because of RuPaul, because of this whole experience, I thought that was great to pay a little homage and get so much love and give some of that love back. It was a really touching exchange and a really touching moment. And it's interesting to see Ru be a little bit more human and a little more vulnerable with the girls in these types of scenarios.
I think this season she could see for real the impact she's had, RuPaul, and I think that hit her. Because in a traditional season, she sees the winner, she kisses them off, they go on a tour that somebody else has organized and promoted and yada, yada, yada. I don't know that she follows up on everything. She couldn't remember Jinx's name at DragCon, but you know. but here's a chance for her to look at these girls that she helped rocket them to fame. She's brought them back and they're showing up and they're doing it and it's improved and it's amazing and it's glorious. And so I think that was where RuPaul caught some feelings, because she really did see for sure that this television show has had an impact on the world. And that these girls have these platforms, and this is going into every living room, you know, in America now. And I think that's a powerful moment that the nine of them shared, I guess.
Yeah. No, you're absolutely right. And it was lovely to see. And no matter what anybody thinks of the season, the outcome, any of that, it was a moment that those 12 people, the judges panel and the queens, got to share, be a part of experience that nothing and nobody, nothing that's said online, nothing that any of the fans say can take away from them, because they are all amazingly talented queens. And this is the thing, like, I flat out say I'm not a fan of Trinity's, but you know what? She did a great job this season. You know, she's done stuff. I don't follow her, so I don't know. She's probably done stuff. But
she does things.
Done stuff. Just things. She goes out, gets plastic surgery. I don't know. But these are all queens that are incredibly talented, came back to do this show, showcase their best selves, even the points where they maybe weren't their best. It's still, the season was something that overall is just, I'm so glad that we got to see. I don't want to see an all winter season again for a while, but we'll get to that in a minute. Like that could be our thoughts, our final thoughts section.
Closing thoughts. All right.
Exactly. So now after the tears have been wiped away and a clown themed performance.
Talk about that. Talk about that. How'd you feel?
I don't know what to say about it.
I feel like the editor was absent that day, because it just went from Queen's going backstage to Michelle suddenly out of nowhere remembering she had this dream. What? And then it all became a thing and they were smiling.
I had this dream, RuPaul, where you were dressed just like you are right now.
Right now.
Not even like they put a different outfit on her, which, I mean, first off, I thought she looked great. I thought it was a stunning look on RuPaul, with the canary yellow hair and the fluffy feathery dress. I thought it was phenomenal. But then, I don't understand it. So it was almost as fever dream as the Christmas sing along from the Hollislay special.
Okay. All right.
I was just waiting for Jasmine Masters to pop up and be like, did we all just have the same dream?
It was that level of script writing for that introduction. Yeah, it was definitely that.
I just put the monkeys at the computer and just let them hit the keys and read whatever was written.
By all means, RuPaul is allowed to promote her stuff. It's her world. If we're just lucky enough to live in it. But someone got to be able to write an introduction better than that. That's all I think.
And then to have it like carry over, and then one of the backup dancers was like creeping up on Michelle and then screaming.
And then nothing was said of it again.
That was it.
It was over. And no one remembered that it had ever happened.
Yeah. I almost forgot about it until I was like through the rundown in my head. I was like, oh wait, there was a performance.
When you asked me to do this, that was the only thing I wanted to remember. I want to talk about what the heck was that moment, that 4 minutes right there in the middle. What was that?
And all it made me think about was Katy Perry's song Smile. Which I'm not really a Katy Perry fan. Like, I like older Katy Perry stuff, but it felt like a direct ripoff of that, because it was I think it came out in 2020.
During COVID.
And it was like a Facebook music video that came out, and then there's like clowns in it, and it's this whole thing about like kind of that same message of like turning your world around by smiling. And I'm like, Rue, listen. I got COVID. I got monkeypox. I got world wars. My world ain't getting be changed because I decided to smile today.
All I could think about was Cher's Believe, because the vocoder on this new single, child.
Yes. Wow. When she started, I was like, and now we all know that Rue needs some assistance. I mean, like, it's not. But I miss the days of what I feel were like real songs. I feel like everything she's doing now are just these like one verse and a chorus songs where it's just really to a dance beat. So she can pump out a new CD every year. So that way, every season, she can, like, there's another album to promote.
There's a weird...
There's
a weird circle to me because it sounds like she is now copying the Todrick who shall not be named, where he just pulls a few phrases out of drag vocabulary and makes a song out of it, right? And it feels like now she's doing that. Like, she's pulling a few words and putting some music behind it, and now this is a new dance single.
Yeah, it's so weird. I miss the days of Sissy That Walk and Covergirl and like those songs, or even a little like Kimmy Category is probably one of those that like epitomizes very little substance and a dance beat. And I'm not saying that it's not that there aren't catchy songs, but when you're doing it to mass produce like singles. Yeah. This frequently, the quality definitely is not there. I mean, yeah, probably about there.
All right. So then, but
enough of the clowns. Bye bye. The clowns try to abduct Michelle Visage, and everybody screams except for RuPaul, who's like, "I don't know what any of y'all are doing right now." So we are going to discuss these in their entirety, their entire bracket. We're going to start with the queen of She Done Already Done Had Herses.
I'm glad you put both Duns in there, because Shay could not remember to put both Duns in there. She Done Already Done Had Herses.
She Done Already Done Had Herses. So this is the bottom four. These are the four queens that did not make the top four for number of stars and Jada, who got taken out of the spot in fourth place for a cash prize of $50,000 and the title of She'd Already Done Had Herses. Right. So we have Viv, Evie, Jada, and Raja. And is it Calix was the pit crew member who got to spin the wheel.
Good memory.
Yeah, it took me a second. I had to think about it. But he's a very unique name. So it was right there. And the wheel lands on Viv. And then the wheel lands on Evie. Now, pure conjecture, do you think the wheel landed on those of its own volition?
I always think
it's fixed. You think there was a little stop there?
I always think it's fixed. I mean, I said this at the start, and I don't mean it as a negative critique, but it's not a reality television show. It's a produced show. And the producers and RuPaul, they know who they want. And if there's at all a way to make things happen in a certain way, I'm sure that they tweak a thing here and someone standing behind the wheel with a little rubber stopper there. And, you know, these things happen, I think. But I'm not mad about it.
Absolutely. And I think the first time they did this, and I was watching something recently on YouTube, one of those like drag channels, where it's like, you know, Drag Tea Exposed. And I don't remember which channel it was, but there was something where it talked about Trinity and Peppermint making a pact that if the wheel landed on either of them, they would choose the other person. Because they knew that production wanted Shay and Sasha to be the top two. So by forcing a Shay versus Sasha lip sync in the first round, they had to, they forced production into cutting one of the two. And if that's true, it makes sense because I could see them having that first wheel just be, hey, let's see who it lands on.
Sure. There's no reason to fix the first one, right?
Exactly. Because then if that was the case and they did choose to go against each other, so that way it was Shay versus Sasha in round one. After that, you know they're going to do what they want to make sure that the top two are the top two that they get.
Right. I feel that's
pure conjecture.
Right.
Pure conjecture. But like you said, and this is something that Ginger Minch said many years ago on our show, they're told not to call it reality television because there are story producers, because there are things that are molded and shaped. There isn't a script, so it is it's unscripted television. And that's how it has to be referred to, because when you have story producers, it's not reality. You know, right. they're guiding these characters, these queens, these contestants, to the stories that they want to make on a television show.
And to be real, if you've ever watched an episode of Untucked, you know someone has been handed an outline of a script. In the middle of this conversation, I would like to now ask this random question from no cues or context. But look, let's do this thing now.
Well, Willem is mentioned on Ray Chaser about the fact that story producers will go, hey, who wants to talk about this as they're entering the workroom? So, you know, but I mean, even honestly, the Untucked for this season, there'd be like conversation. It's like, let's play a game. Oh, Jada, look, it's a pink box next to you. Like, it was the worst acting I've ever seen in my life. But but it's great. It's what we live for.
Even so lower than Dayton
Open. Yeah. You know what? I still haven't gone back and watched that episode.
I had no idea the ball was so into farts. I had no idea.
Apparently she's a 12-year-old boy.
Yeah.
In a 60-year-old man's body. So Viv is the Wheel's first victim. Evie is the Wheel's second victim. Viv gets the choice, though, on whether or not she wants the platinum or the brass, which I wasn't sure which one RuPaul was talking about, because the brass box looked a lot like the platinum plunger.
Which was never platinum. It was never.
It was gold the whole time.
Yeah, 100%. We have to have alliteration, though. We have to have alliteration. Yeah, so she chose brass because she's brassy. And then immediately regretted it.
Immediately. Because it is Push It by Salt and Pepper.
Push It was not in her wheelhouse. No.
I don't think there's much to say about this lip sync other than it was pretty much a runaway smash for Evie.
I do question this. Like, if you know, they had to know that there was one of three songs, right?
Yes.
Because they had to prepare, right? So they knew what the third, and then it's going to be one of these two. Evie's choice of a Mondrian trench coat was an interesting one. I didn't understand that outfit. And again, we're getting to the end of the season. A lot of the outfit choices
were very much weird.
We're going to talk about all of them, right? Yeah, because this is the first one. Viv looked like she was ready to do a lip sync, and then she didn't know how to do it. And I think she lost it. The second she just admitted, oh no, I meant the other one, Michelle registered instant disapproval. That was not going to win. And Evie had it. No problem. Yeah.
Yeah. So round two is Jada versus Raja from the Platinum Box, which was Let's Hear It for the Boy by Denise Williams. What did you think about this lip sync? Yes.
So I went into it thinking Jada was going to run away with it. I really did. And I think I forgot that Raja is of an age where that was her jam. And I think it was fun to watch them. I will be real honest. This is strange to say because a whole episode was lip syncs. Probably lip syncs are my least favorite part of the show because of the way the cameras cut and I don't get to see everything that I want to see. And so it's hard to follow one performer because the camera leaves them when you, but I think that they did a really fun job. It's a fun song. I'm 50 years old. And so it brought back a lot of happy, good memories for me from the 80s. And it was fun to watch them. And I do think maybe there was some bias in the decisions, as we talked about. I think RuPaul had in mind that Raja should get something good out of this whole thing. And I think that edged her by.
Yeah, I thought this was the first one of the night where I was like, either one could win it.
Yeah.
And I wasn't mad about that, you know, and that's a lot of the editing and what they show us. But what we were shown, I really felt like, oh, okay, I could see either one of them winning. And when Raja was called the winner, I was like,
yeah,
I'm okay with that. Yeah. So going into the final lip sync for the title of She Had Already Done Had Hers Is, and the cash prize of $50,000. $50,000, if you will. And forgot to mention, as the queens were eliminated from the lip syncs, they received their crepter and have a lovely moment and a lovely send-off from Rue, and give a final, essentially a thank you message to Rue. And in the Untucked Lounge, during the Untucked for this episode, they actually have more of these conversations as the lip sync SmackDown is going on.
And right, because the girls are backstage watching the two perform. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think this was the first time I really felt like Untucked was giving me more, as like watching it as a companion piece. Like, I really thought this gave me a different insight and a different view of how the entire thing is shaking down. And I like that a lot.
Good, yeah.
So we get to Sisters Are Doing It For Themselves by the Eurythmics and Aretha Franklin, where Raja and Ibi Oddly battle for the crown, the title, and the briefcase full of money. What did you think of this lip sync?
I think it was Raja's to win. I really do. For the same reason as Hear It For The Boy came out in that time period. Here's another song that Raja's been able to perform for 30 years. And I feel like this is just something she's good at. It was happy, but it didn't require acrobatics. I think she did a really, really beautiful job of it. I think Evie, I love her to death, but I think this is where the fact that she's a new winner in an era of COVID and she hasn't gotten to perform much probably in the last few years, right? And she's talked openly this season about losing some of her skills, losing some of her abilities to bend and flex and pose. Things hurt more because of her situation, her health situation. And so as much as I kind of have that, I want her to get something good out of this, I do really think Raja was the right call for this. And the way RuPaul phrased the ultimate winner of the other crown, based on your performance of this whole season and your showing tonight, if we apply that to Raja and Evie, I think Raja, runway after runway after runway, acting performances, all the time, I think Raja was the right winner for She Done Already Done Had Hers Is.
Yeah, and I think one of the things that, and it's tough because to steal a Dragula line, art is subjective, and when it comes down to a lip sync, there is no right way or wrong way to call a winner. There have to be other things that go into it, and we'll talk about that more in the winners bracket, the final four bracket. But when you have a song like Sisters Are Doing It For Themselves, this almost felt like a somewhat like season four Latrice versus Kenya Michaels to You Make Me Feel Like a Natural Woman by Aretha Franklin, where Latrice gave a very soulful and like literally a park and bark, but it was a soul filled performance. And Kenya's doing ballet and twirls and all of this stuff around her, and it didn't necessarily match. In a different song, in a newer, maybe more upbeat song, very kind of like punky poppy, even rocky kind of song, Evie's tricks, twirls, dips, cartwheels would have fit better. The performance that Raja gave for this song fit that 80s style of performance, in my opinion. I will say, though, that when Evie's wig fell off and they were like, slow-mo, wig fall off, wig cap, and then she was like, Just kidding. Here's another wig. I was like, okay, that was pretty good. But did it fit the song? Like, it's weird. There were a lot of what felt like misplaced reveals throughout this whole thing.
Here's the thing.
It almost reveals for reveal's sake.
Super impressive reveals, right? If you look at Lady Camden as her fall down, get up reveal, that's the new bar. Like, you got to do something better. You can't take off one kitty cat wig and put on, and like, there's another one underneath it. That's not so shocking.
I mean, I will say this. I thought it was pretty nifty, only for the fact of like playing it off of like, oh my God, my wig fell off, and then having the wig underneath it. It felt like an elevated version of Monet's from All Stars 4, which is still one of my favorite wig reveals of all time, where she decimated Trinity in the lip sync to Fighter, and she had the short blonde pussycat wig on, and then she was like, and she pulled it off, and it was the same blonde pussycat wig underneath. That was amazing. And this felt like that next iteration of it, but it felt out of place. And it may not be the popular opinion, but I think that you and I both agree that Raja was deserving of taking home the title of.
She was never my favorite. I wasn't thinking she was going to be in the top of anything. I was happy to see her come back. She said her goal was to get a new fan base of younger viewers, and I think she certainly has won over a whole lot of people with her amazing looks. She's weird and kooky, and I like that about her. Her graduation speech stands out as one of the great moments of the season, reminding us that we're all going to die, just like her deadpan attitude. So I think it was a deserved win based on the entirety of her performance.
Agreed. So now let's move into the Queen of All Queens bracket, where we have Jinx, Shay, Monet, and Trinity the Tuck. The first queen on the wheel spin was Jinx, with Shay Coulee being the second name pulled or chosen from the wheel. Right. And Jinx chooses the platinum box and reveals Judas by Lady Gaga as their lip sync song. And when I talk about reveals that felt a little awkward and weird, Jinx and Shay come to mind in both of their reveals.
What outfit was Shay wearing for this one? I don't know. She only did one, right? So was that weird bodysuit with the checkerboard fuzzy dress cape?
Yes. And somebody, wait, did I see it online? Somebody reference this outfit as being or Shay wearing Kennedy Davenport's crystallized dead hooker outfit on the runway. And I was like, yes.
Okay. No, I didn't understand. We talked about not understanding Evie's Mondrian trench. This is an outfit I did not understand. This is for $200,000. And you know it's one of these two songs, right? And this is the outfit you can, regardless of her outfit, I immediately was worried that Jinx was going to lose this one. And Jinx was my favorite to win it. And I just didn't, I love Jinx's career. I love that she's ballady and body, and she's an amazing actual singer. I've seen her shows. I've seen her television productions. She's phenomenal. But I didn't think she could do Lady Gaga for some reason. I just thought this was going to be a Shay win. And so I was happily pleased. I think it's the costume that killed it for Shay. That's what I tell myself.
You know what's funny is I think Alaska had mentioned this on one of the, I reference Ray Chaser a lot because it's one of the only other drag outlets that I intake, but she talked about, or she or Willem talked about taking like human hair wigs and then essentially like cutting them up into like these weird, like very jaggedy edged like styles.
Okay.
And this is the last time I saw Shay in person, last time I saw and talked to Shay here in Chicago. Not like I say that like I see Shay all the time, but last year-ish, almost a year ago. Oh God, it was maybe it was the same wig. It was right after they came back. Oh, because I think it was the day I graduated from my training class for my current job. We went to Roscoe's and we ended up running into, we saw Nina West and Willem perform. And then we ended up running into Shay afterwards. And she had this very odd, like very weird. I was looking, I was like, what is this wig you're wearing? Because it looks just ridiculous. I think it was the same wig. I need to find a picture because my former coworker, Katie, and I took a picture with Shay that night. I need to find it. But the wig was so odd. The outfit was whatever, but it, yeah, like I get it. I didn't understand it. And she was doing the Gaga choreo, which has come up in conversation before, like, or through a couple of things. And that's awesome. The edit definitely favored Jinx. We were supposed to think, okay, cool. Like, she definitely did. She killed this. I think my favorite thing, one, I think Jinx actually really did do this performance well. But that cape, having that cape, the swirling around, the movement that she gave it was so captivating that even though Shay was doing, like, Lady Gaga could have fucking popped up next to her and been doing the dance next to her.
Yeah, they would have been in sync for sure. Yeah.
And I wouldn't have noticed because the motion of the cape.
There's that red cape flowing over there.
It takes me back to season 5 with Coco in those big sleeves doing Cold Hearted by Paula Abdul and like doing like the swirling with it, and it's mesmerizing. And it probably could have gone either way, but I love Shay. Super fucking talented, amazing queen. I was really happy to see Jinx move on. I mean, I think excited. We all knew that Jinx was moving on no matter what, but I was very happy to see that happen.
I agree with you. I said that I thought Jinx would lose it when I saw what the song title was, but I didn't go back and say what you just said, which is that she actually did a really great job of it. She emoted through the song. You talked about the right response Raja gave to Let's Hear It for the Boy. I think that Jinx knew, she's a supreme consummate performer. So of course she knew the lyrics, she knew the story of the song, she knew the emotions of the song, and delivered it all and did a beautiful job. So yeah.
Absolutely. Moving on to the Twinners.
Right.
Lip syncing again, a little AS4 rematch. Monet Exchange and Trinity the Tuck to So What by Pink.
Right.
What were your thoughts on this one?
So in my mind, I've built Trinity up to be like a Vegas showgirl dancer. And then every time there's a dance challenge, I remember, oh no, she's not. She sparkles like she should be able to dance and do cartwheels and tricks and da da da. And so I first thought she's got this in the bag, right? It's high energy, it's boppy, she's gonna be spiraling all over the floor. No, I don't think that she did the better job. I think Monet owned that song in a way that I haven't seen it perform before. And I was really excited. Between the two of them, I don't know either of them very, very well. I think I like Monet's sense of humor on her YouTube stuff a lot more. But like you said, I don't see Trinity anywhere. I don't know what she's doing outside of the Drag Race season. So I guess I wanted Monet to win. And I was happy that she would. It set up, though, some, you know, do you want Jinx to go against the best? Do you want Jinx to get an easy win? Where do you feel about that? Those questions come in.
Yeah. You're absolutely right. I mean, I won't discount Trinity as a performer for the most part. I think that Trinity has a cadence and a rhythm and a bag of tricks that she will use. And we see it in every single lip sync she does. And while I don't think, okay, I'll be honest, I didn't like this lip sync from either of them. I think they both look like fish out of water. Like, this was not the song that either of them practiced, thought it was going to be a choice for them. Monet's, like, what she was trying to rock out during the so what? I'm so, like, kind of headbanging. Her wig was not cooperating with her. And
it was not a pretty wig. Can I say that it was not a pretty wig?
It none of it felt clean and like a strong performance. But I think that as a lip sync performer, Monet demolishes Trinity. And I think that we also saw that be one of the deciding factors to there being a tie in All Stars 4 when I don't think it's unfair to say that Trinity was probably earmarked as the winner of season 4 of All Stars.
Oh, fair.
And then Monet decimated her in the final episode. and coupled with the backlash that they'd gotten after the first three seasons, because Trixie is very white presenting, even though she is also half indigenous, which that's a whole other conversation. I'm not going to get into that here, but it was very much the white blonde drag queen gets into the Hall of Fame, and Trinity was another queen that fell into that for the most part. And Monet literally wiped the floor with her in that final episode. Yeah. Her verse and performance in the music video was miles and away better. Her runway, in my opinion, was better than Trinity's. And then that lip sync to Fighter, Trinity did herself no favors in that lip sync at all. She was horrible in that lip sync. And you couldn't have anything but a tie at that point, because how would you explain it otherwise? Unless you said
if you were committed to Trinity getting a crown, right? If you really wanted to stick to that, then you had to at least give Monet equal footing.
Yeah.
So it was interesting. They asked for this at the beginning of the season. They said they wanted to see each other, who really was going to come out on top and break the tie, right? So they got exactly that moment in this lip sync.
And it's storyline gold. That's production gold. Of course they're going to lip sync against each other. Of course that's going to be the culmination of that storyline. And it was great to see. And in my opinion, the better person won. And I was happy with that outcome. So then we get to the final lip sync. And it is Jinx versus Monet to Swish Swish by Katy Perry. I mentioned this earlier. I read spoilers. I read the Reddit threads. I knew what the final lip sync was, and I was a little concernicus about how this was all going to go. And this has been a very contentious point since the finale aired on Friday. What is your take on this final lip sync?
Okay. From the start, I wondered what the hell they were both wearing. Because Monet's silver pantaloon doublets or whatever those were. I didn't understand why that outfit. And Jinx's outfit, when that front piece is belted back and you can see that it's a pantsuit and she's got a waist, it's really nice. But otherwise, it looks like she's wearing a tent. So I thought these were weird choices for a lip sync. How are you going to perform in that? What are you going to do in that? When the song title came up, I was like, what is this even? Who's the natural for this? I couldn't place a bet on that. I would have just been blind on that. I think I have to go back to that statement Rue made, which is not just based on this lip sync, but based on everything you've done over the last 12 weeks. Here is a winner. I think it's exciting that these are both winners who came from relatively early. I mean, almost the first half. These are two people that have had time to go out and have careers. Both of them have many things in production. Both of them have toured extensively. They've got shows. So I think you had two really, really amazing performers up there at the very end, which was nice to see. And I think if it was a call based on everything, I'm happy it was Jinx. I was rooting for Jinx. I wanted her to have that Queen of All Queens moment. She's definitely, you know, a global phenomenon. And so that's where I thought. I thought it was possibly going to be controversial when I watched it Friday night, but I thought it was the right choice. You say what?
I agree. You know, the editing was definitely something. It did not show us a lot of kind of the gags and the goops and the jokes. You know, she apparently had all three of the other queens' names on lipsticks. Monet did. And at the beginning, tossed Trinity and Shay's lipsticks off the stage. And then the one that she's holding that she takes out and fixes her lipstick with says Jinx on it. So, like, okay. There was a little thing like that. And there were these other little, like, I mean, they essentially cut out the Nicki Minaj rap, which, you know, would have highlighted Monet over Jinx for sure.
I'm glad you mentioned that, because at the beginning of the show, I turned to the person I was watching it with and I said, who's going to do the rap better? Obviously, it's going to be Monet. I don't think I've ever seen Jinx do an actual rap. And then I noticed that it was not part of the cut, not part of the edit. So
yeah, it was just a tiny little bit of it. And I mean, the story is going to be the story. I knew who the top two were going into the season. So going back through all of the recaps where I kept on saying Monet and Jinx were my two, they really were my two. If I had to pick two people out of this cast, it would be the two of them. And then maybe Shay as a close third. But those are my two girls. Those are the two queens that I built friendships with, that I really just like have bonded with and have a connection with. And I adore them as people and as queens. So no matter who walked out of there with that crown, no matter what the ADR afterwards was, including the line about and your performance all season, because we know that was ADR afterwards and included to also justify the win. but the thing is, it didn't necessarily need to be justified. Jinx won five challenges. Jinx dominated the competition. And aside from the two design challenges, so it's 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. The other four challenges, she could have been a top two person in those challenges. The girl group, like the two songs, she could have been a top two contender in. The school for girls, she could have been a contender in. Honestly, I would have not been surprised if she was top two in that one.
And tee it up like she could have been, right? Because like that whole concept of taking a small role and turning it into something. They teed it up like she was going to be there at the end. But
very much like Ben de la Creme on All Stars 3, she dominated the season. The lip sync smackdown for the crown is a flawed system. And I don't think it was ever going to work well. And I don't think anybody was ever going to be happy. At the end of it, no one is ever happy, because every queen has their own fans, and in a lot of ways it's very toxic. In the, if your queen doesn't win, then it's all riggery and they were robbed and it was all this. You know what, at the end of the day, while I don't think that Jinx won that lip sync, I think Jinx is extremely deserving of the title of Queen of All Queens. If it had gone the other way and they had said, Monet Exchange, you're the winner, I'd have been like, hell motherfucking yes. Monet did a great job this season. Had they said, Trinity, you've won, I still wouldn't like Trinity, but I would also say, you know what? Trinity did a fucking good job this season.
And it was deserved.
I mean, honestly, like, when it comes down to it, I may not like, you know, I may not like her. Any of the top four, any of the queens, if anybody on this fucking cast won it, after watching this season, I'd be like, you know what? They did a great job. They all did a great fucking job. And to wrap it up, you know, the whole thing. So real quick, this is a fun little thing to go through. Money. The only queen who did not win anything.
I know.
Was Evie. And that was so sad.
I know.
Least amount of money won, Monet, Trinity, and Jada with $10,000 apiece. $10,000. Next was Shay at $20,000. The Vivian, finally winning some money on this competition show, won $21,500. And then you had Raja at $60,000. And Jinx Monsoon taking home a monster $232,500 for winning the show.
And that $32,000 says a lot, because she won it from winning earlier lip syncs in the show. So there's even more evidence that she's amazing and that she does a fucking bang-up job. Can I say that word on your show? She does a bang-up job.
Sure.
And deserves to win. Deserves to
we
win.
Can say bang-up. I put a notice on there.
But it goes back to what I asked earlier. Does Shay feel maybe it was a mistake to have that switch them up 3-star win, because if it had been her in that other four, maybe she'd walk away with $50,000 instead of $10,000.
I mean, this is true.
You don't know what
you never know. Happen. The world may never know. But so yeah, to wrap up our
setup.
Yeah, no, I hear you on that one. To wrap up our conversation, what are your overall thoughts on All Star 7 as a season, as an experience, as a moment in time?
Loved it. Happy that it happened this way. Fans have been asking for years for something like this. I remember when the season was announced and there was speculation of what will it be like, what will the rules be like, and finding out that these 8 previous winners would not be eliminated each week was really fun to watch, because, you know, I would hate to have seen someone like Jinx go home in week 3 because of a fashion design challenge when she clearly deserves to stay and has won the whole thing, right? So I think that it was a fun experiment. I like that RuPaul does try to switch up little things each season and, you know, just give us some twists and invent some new things for us to watch. I would love to see a different assessment than a final lip sync, SmackDown, Lollapalooza, fist bump, whatever, because it's not all the drag queen does, right? They do so much more between the acting and the comedy, and I want to see that part of it. Maybe make the talent show, you know, your finale, and then show us what you think you do best, and then we judge you based on that.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I agree. And
what do you want to see different?
I definitely not the lip sync for the crown as the way to cap it off and quote unquote choose a winner, because storyline's gonna storyline and production's gonna production. And it's my biggest fucking thing. I want the fans to shut the fuck up for a little bit and not take it out on these queens. These queens don't have any fucking say in how the storyline goes. They are not the producers. They are not the people that are making these decisions. So shut the fuck up about this was robbed or this is how it should have gone. Let these queens fucking enjoy their time on television. Let them either bask in their highs, lick their wounds for the things that they are upset about, which we don't see everything, you know, and again, production is going to production. So they have valid concerns and reasons to be upset about some of the way things, the way some of the things are shown on television. And that's fine. But when the fan base starts getting all fucking riled up about all of these things, and I'm scrolling through the like the comments on the fandom wiki page, and it's like, this is how I would have judged it. This is how I would have went. Fuck your, like, have your little fantasy world. Like, I wish this would have happened, but maybe also leave these queens out of it, or like, don't fucking tag them right on social media. Don't be assholes. Although I forget, oh my God, somebody posted something and like tagged Shay and Monet and like, and try to like talk some shit. And they fucking turn around and drags him on Twitter succinctly, not like a long thing. It literally was like just sharp precision read. And I was like, first of all, you fucking deserve it. Second of all, your name's out your fucking mouth. Like,
right. I hope for the queens, they take Rue's advice and they just don't read the comments. Right. I hope they get that training after they leave the studio. Just don't read the comments. It hurts when become news, but you know.
And they're not. I mean, for the most part, most of them are still on there and active on social media and seeing these things.
Yeah.
It's so tough because, I mean, like, honestly, I've sat here now 11 weeks and talked about my opinion and how I felt about things. And I still sit here and I say that I may not like a certain queen, but I don't disparage them as people. I don't disparage their talent. And when you look at something like, because it's come up so much during the season, Survivor is a very apt, similar kind of way to look at this. There is so much more that we don't see that these queens are exposed to, live through, see, experience.
Right.
When there are decisions that are made, like for me, the roast, I felt like it was production from what I saw, from what we were shown. It was production that pushed Trinity as that top two. One, to have her in a spot to be tied with Jada, knowing that, like, hey, this is what we're pushing for. And it'll be a tie. It'll be broken by Monet because it's kind of mapped out if it works right. But also, we only see what we're shown. On a show like Survivor, the people that are voted out end up casting the vote for the winner. And the television show will most of the times try to show us a narrative that follows what the final vote is.
Right.
But we don't always
see that. So you're not surprised.
And there are times. Exactly. But there are times where they're like shocking wins or an upset win because the story isn't as readily available for them to show us. Because maybe somebody downplays their time in the game. But they build those relationships.
Sometimes that's good TV to have a shocking, controversial twist. People going to talk about it, right?
Well, exactly. I mean, like, you know, one of the, I think it was like season 11, 10 or 11. The winner, she did not want to give up any of her gameplay secrets or what she was thinking, her strategy, to production, because production would then like say things that would clue other people into what they're doing. So there wasn't a lot of footage that they would use. So at the end of it, when she was the winner, people were like, well, wait a minute, why? But the people that were there playing the game with them, that were in this environment with them, know what the bigger picture looks like. We only see a limited scope of it.
They're in filming a week's episode for like 3 or 4 days, right?
It's usually two episodes, 2 days per episode.
Okay. But they're long days, right?
Usually.
These are 12, 14, 16 hour days. And they edit that all down to 48 minutes, right? So we're clearly missing a lot of interaction.
Oh yeah,
we're missing that talent show or the roast or the graduation speeches. Those are not 30-second speeches each, right? They're long, and they get highlights mm-hmm. from them. So yeah, people got to remember that you're looking at a tiny slice of days of interaction these people have preparing for something. And even the shows themselves, the performances they do are longer than what we see. We're not seeing the entirety of the roast or the entirety of the speech.
Yeah. No, it's absolutely right. And I the sooner, if there's ever a point where these parasocial relationships cease to be a thing, where random people on the internet, one, think that they are besties with these celebrities, and two, where they can just run off at the mouth and tag and say whatever they want. Like, if there's ever a point where that's not a thing anymore, I think it'll be for the better in life and in general, because the worst part of the drag race experience is seeing these people just talking this shit and feeling like they have the right to do it.
Right. My advice is, if you think you're defending one of these queens, wait till they ask you to do it. If they,
which
if
will
they
never happen,
you,
because they are,
will never
they
happen.
Are grown ass people.
But if you really think somebody needs defending, you just wait until they ask you and then go ahead.
Exactly. And then my last point on this season, and I mentioned it earlier and I wanted to circle back to it before I forgot. I don't want to see an all winter season for a while. I this does not need to be something that is brought back. It definitely won't be All Stars 8. That's definitely not going to be a thing. There's already rumored cast and a lot of early outs and potentially being a part of it. And if that's the case, the rumored cast that I saw, and you can Google it if you want to try to find it. There were some people on there that I would love to see, some people that I've grown fond of and have enjoyed working with and becoming friends with. And I would love to see them back on the show and get their due and show the glow up and the person that they've become since their season. But while I still don't feel like All Stars should be an every year thing, because I would like to see some of these queens have more time to get out in the world and get better and elevate their craft even more, I definitely don't think that All Winners needs to be something that we revisit for at least another 4 years or so, where we can open up the pool and have a little bit more of a cast to pull from, and to then not be able to automatically compare it to a year or 2 years prior and then have to, in our minds, compare the two. I want this to live in my mind as, this was a great season, a great cast, a beautiful moment in Drag Race time. And if and when that All Stars, All Winners second edition happens, it's going to be its own thing.
You know, say 4 years, I say give it 10. Because none of these 8 queens should repeat their attempt, which only leaves 7 other queens from seasons. And some of them have no interest in coming back and doing this again.
Oh, and some of them, we don't want to come back.
Some of them, maybe, we don't. I'd give it a decade. Give it a good decade. 10 more runs of RuPaul. Get some 10 winners up there and then pick the best 8 out of what's left.
Yeah, and I mean, honestly, like, I don't mind. Gosh. I don't even want to say that. Like, I don't know. I like my All Stars to be by like the cast, like the franchise that it's a part of. So like, there's talk about like Jimbo being a part of All Stars 8 with these other queens, and I'm like, I've soured on Jimbo. I was okay with Jimbo in Canada season 1. UK versus the world, I really did not like Jimbo, like really soured on Jimbo. So to think that he might be back on for another All-Star season so quickly after UK versus the world, I'm just kind of like, I don't necessarily need queens from other franchises coming in and mixing in with the U.S. franchise when you still have queens like Adita Ritz or Darian Lake or an April Carrion, who I would love to see back in an All-Stars. Let the other franchises franchise. Let them be their thing. Let them do their thing.
I mean, they're clearly successful in Canada. Let Canada do its own All-Stars. Let the UK exactly. do its own All-Stars. Okay.
Yeah, we're almost at that point where at the U.S., we were at that first All-Stars for U.S. after season 4. Probably a hot take, probably a controversial opinion. Definitely the Jimbo one. Feel free to at me. That's fine. But I want to wait for more All Winners. But this season, I loved. Okay. My dear Matthew, if you mentioned it, you are a photographer. You do amazing photography. If you would like to share with our listening audience, where can they follow you and see your artwork on the interwebs?
They could find me at Distilled Images, all one word, no spaces, on Twitter or on the Instagram. I think Instagram's fixing itself now. We're not going to be all reels and videos all the time. So at Distilled Images is where I am. If you want to tell me what I was wrong about on this topic of Drag Race, yeah, maybe I'll read it. If you want to see my photos, help yourself.
Go to the Instagram. Love the images. Maybe don't add them on Twitter because he probably won't read it. He's taking Michelle and Rue's advice and not reading the comments. You can at me. I'm fine with that. I put myself into this position. That is Distilled Images on Twitter and Instagram. Go check out his work. Give him a follow. And that does it for a season of Drag Race All-Stars, All Winners. 11 episodes of this recap, 12 episodes of the show. I'm going to have so many great memories that'll come out of this. I'm just so thankful for it. I'm thankful to every single person who joined me on the recaps. I loved bringing new voices into the conversation and getting to share all of these great moments with Orlando folks, my podcast peeps, my new Chicago friends. So this has just been a joy and a pleasure. Thank you to everybody listening for being a part of this journey. No more weekly episodes. We're back to just doing our every other week microsodes and pop culture roundups. But if you'd like to, go check out our website, flameonshow.com. And you can also check out our Patreon at patreon.com/flameonshow and join at any one of the four levels that we have there and help continue supporting our little podcast here. Matthew, once again, thank you so much for joining me on this episode.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. And dear listeners, just one last thing to say to you. Bye, bitch.